Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Once again, Freedom Radio listeners, this is Minister Dunlap, and we welcome you to Freedom Radio this evening. This is going to be a special night tonight because we have two wonderful guests that are going to be with us this evening to talk about what I would consider to be a much-needed topic. We're going to be talking about this evening politics in the church, not necessarily politics within the church, but politics in the church and politics and the church. Tonight, I'm welcoming two co-hosts with me this evening. One is going to be Mr. Nathaniel Sanderson, and the other is going to be Dr. Dante Truss. So in a minute, I'll go ahead and introduce them and also give them the opportunity to introduce themselves. Just a couple housekeeping items. One is if you would like to add to the conversation, add to the dialogue, we ask that you press 1 on your dial pad. We'll see you on our switchboard, and then we'll get to your comment or question. We're going to try to do this a little bit different this evening. We're going to talk to one of our guests first, go through some general questions, and also go talk to our second host, go through some general questions, and then we're going to bring it together. One of the things that we talk about on Freedom Radio is resurrecting responsible dialogue, and this is what this show is about. This is how I, myself, and Sister Skeen, we try to minister to all of God's people in this particular area. So the first question that we can really think about is, why have this type of dialogue now? Why do we want to talk about politics and the church? And for me, the reason is simple. You know, since March, since I've been hosting the show on the first Tuesday of the month, God has really placed in me to talk about diversity, because that's one of those areas that we found that we really don't want to talk about, especially inside of the church. And Dr. Truss has been on the show. Matter of fact, he was on the first show with us. And one of the things that we learned from the first show that we did was that diversity is not just black and white. It's not just rich or poor. It covers a whole multitude of different type of backgrounds and areas. And one of those just happened to be political affiliation. So tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to engage with two individuals. And let me say up front that this is not a Republican and a Democratic type of debate. We are really still focusing on the same lines that we have been on, which is diversity. And we're just looking at how can we, as individuals, as God's creatures, especially as men and women of God, especially inside of the church, how can we come together as a people? How can we embrace the difference of diversity when we have different political type of affiliations? So without further ado, Dr. Truss, good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you once again for accepting this invitation. We know that you're kind of busy doing some personal things, so if you can just give us a little brief introduction to the Freedom Radio listeners, and we'll go and take it to Mr. Sanderson after that.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for allowing me to be on this evening. It's always a pleasure to be in your midst, to be able to have dialogue about great topics that you've been able to bring forth thus far. I look forward to further exploring diversity, and as we begin to just focus on the political side of it, I look forward to the dialogue that's coming forth. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Dante Truss. I currently work at Fort Valley State University, where I'm the Associate Vice President of Institutional Research, Planning, and Effectiveness. In addition to that, I'm a man of God. I've been a minister now for approximately 6 years or so at a local church here in Kansas City, Alabama. Again, I look forward to the dialogue. And just can't wait to really delve into the topic.
Amen. We thank you. And Mr. Sanderson, good friend of mine, I'll let you do your own introduction. Mr. Sanderson, go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you, Minister Dunlap and Dr. Truss, for inviting me in on this much-needed dialogue this evening. Just to give a brief black background of me, I'm a 21-year military retired veteran, a licensed insurance agent. I run my own insurance company here in Columbus, Georgia, called Fit Financial. I'm also the president of the Columbus, Georgia chapter NAACP. I attend church at Cathedral Prayer Church of God in Christ and very active in the community, and this is a very interesting subject tonight, much needed, and hopefully we'll get into it and get into some of the nuances of this subject tonight, and I'm looking forward to having an open and honest dialogue with everyone.
Great, great. Thank you. And let's just jump into it. You know, one of the things that I thought about was, you know, with this political climate that we have in our country and also the way that our churches are, because you can't separate, in my opinion, it's hard to separate politics from church because the church is involved in different types of politics, whether it's within the organizational structures themselves or with the individuals who may be a Republican, maybe a Democrat, Independent, Tea Party, whatever the case may be. So what I was led to do, so everybody understands where I'm coming from, is, again, not to have a debate between two individuals. That kind of really just totally defeats the purpose of what we're talking about when we talk about diversity and embracing. We're actually doing something that I wish that more people would do, which is actually let's engage in dialogue. Let's have a conversation about whatever I'm thinking about, what is core to me, what is important to me in my household, in the community in which I live, in which I serve. And let's take an opportunity to me to engage you in your difference and see where we can come together where some things are similar more so than what they're different. So I'll put the question out there. What is politics? Because we're talking about politics and the church, and a lot of individuals have their own perceptions of what politics is. Some people just think politics are nothing but negative, and I could say that yesterday I was at an event here in the city, and I heard somebody say, I don't like politics. I'm just going to let them deal with that. And that got me thinking that, you know, this conversation is really, really needed because politics affects everybody. So from that perspective, Mr. Sanderson, I'll let you go first. What is politics to you, and how does negative politics play into this whole political arena, more particularly as we see it from a church perspective or a godly perspective?
Well, basic, simple definition, layman's term, to me, politics is the art of compromise. You have to be able to get what you want without compromising your principles and your values. But understand that other people have principles and values too, and you have to find a happy meeting ground between the two. So as long as I can keep my integrity and keep my values and my principles, I may not get 100% of what I want today, but politics says that I can come back tomorrow and get the rest. So to me, that's what it is. And when you talk about politics in the church, politics in the church takes on a totally different meaning to me. When I'm thinking of politics in the church, I'm thinking of several levels. I'm thinking of, you know, as a at the leadership level, the politics of dealing with other churches and the doctrine and those types of things. But then boil down to right in a congregation where you may have different ministries within a ministry. How do those ministries work together? And they have to be politically savvy for the congregation as a whole to move forward with what God has given them.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. Dr. Truss.
Yes, sir.
Politics to you, what is it? How do you define politics, positive or negative, and how does it affect the church?
Well, you know, I think Mr. Sanderson, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I think he did a wonderful job of defining it. I'll work really hard to try to add to it, but I think he definitely nailed it. As I think about the definition of politics, I think about Oliver North, I believe it was, that said everything is political. Everything is political. Everything is politics. When you look at the trade-offs that must take place inside of the country, inside of our community, inside of our city, in order for things to happen, it's politics. When you look at the smallest situation, and I'll just use an example of stoplights being needed and where to place them and what community gets them and what community doesn't, you think about politics. Politics is when you look at or have issues and you realize that there are two sides to every issue. How do you, as he stated, mediate? How do you bring those two sides together to find the best solution that fits or helps or assists the most people? Well, the politics is that process that you go through to figure out things like that. When you're looking inside the church, I believe that politics are very difficult, as you stated, to be separated, because even when you begin to look at church budgeting and where to allocate funds inside the church, the political process, as much as we don't want it to be a part of it, comes into play. And if you understand politics, you see it, and you see it play out, and you see constituency groups inside the church begin to come together and build momentum in order to get things to go in their direction. You see people begin to work back channels and start working those side meetings or the meeting before the meeting in order to get things to happen or to go in the direction that they would like to see it go. So when you see those things start to transpire, you realize, if you understand politics, that this is what it is. And so, again, we hate to see it. We do have to understand it to know that it's there. And I think as we further and better understand politics, we'll understand more how to utilize them to begin to get things done to help even more people. So I'll stop right there, but that's kind of my feel on it.
So what I hear from talking to both of you gentlemen is that, for one, you definitely agree on the definition, and we can't get away from it being the church. We can't get away from it within my church, within your church, within other churches. It's just something that is a part of life, and it's something that we just have to embrace. Is that correct?
I would say so, and I would even take it one step further. I would say politics are in the home. Politics are in the relationship. Politics, you know, with husband and wife, with children, with family. Politics is everywhere.
Wow, you're right. Let's go to something that I was thinking about. Would you mind sharing what your particular political affiliations are for the audience?
You want to go first, Dr. Truss?
No, I'll pass. You go ahead. I'll follow up after you.
Yeah. I'm a registered Republican, and my political affiliations right now, I'm nonpartisan because of my position at the local chapter NAACP. I have chosen to not affiliate myself with either party. But if I were to define my politics, I would say I'm more conservative.
Okay.
Okay. And I am a Democrat. So I guess by the standard terms, I'd be more liberal. But I, again, as I think of politics and I think of the process, I look at who's the best candidate. But if I just had to look at views, it would definitely be on the Democrat side.
Okay, so if Dr. Truss, I'll let you start off. Just for the benefit of the listening audience and for individuals that are not politically savvy, can you just explain to us what are some of the pros and cons that you would see from your party as a Democrat?
Well, as a whole, when I look at the Democratic Party, as with anything, I see strengths, I see weaknesses, I do see pros and cons. But the piece that sticks to me more so than anything is the Democratic side as it relates to how it aims to help those who are in need. when I look at the health care, and I'll just start there and try to build from that. When I look at that health care bill and I examine it and I begin to look at who can be helped by that, I just believe that that's good policy. I'm a firm believer that in life we're going to have the have and we're going to have the have-not. And I believe that the have-nots should have the ability to have access to the same type of health care that the haves have. And those are things that inspire me and keep me voting on the Democratic side. When I look at taxes and I look at paying your share and I look at to whom much is given, much is required, I just believe that, again, I line up better on the Democratic side. So that's just to kind of share a few things as it relates to the Democratic Party.
All right. Mrs. Sanderson.
Wow, this is a very difficult question to answer because of the nuances of the question. When I think of the pros and cons, I have to look at the party platform and see what the platform is. And if I take it in its purest form, I would think as a religious or Christian, as a Christian, that the platform of the Republican Party in years past, I don't know what the platform is going to look like this year, but the platform in years past has more lined up with Bible teaching. And so for that reason right there, I think when you look at your platform and you see what each party is espousing or articulating in their platform, it's more conservative. Now, there's a thing years past, I think President George Bush came out with compassionate conservative. So there's a need to understand, and that's where I think that the con comes in. We have one thing in writing, but do we actually take that out and implement it? And that's where I find myself struggling sometimes with what's going on today. I hear people say that they're Christian, and I'm leaving religion out. I'm specifically trying to stay away from that word, but I'm talking strictly Christian. And when I see Christians acting the way they're acting, I wonder. I know that the politics and Christianity have separated, because if they were coming together, I think we would find our communities looking a lot different. We would find our state and our nation looking a lot different, and we would be a lot healthier. We'd be more healthy as a nation and more healthy as people when it comes to interacting, doing business with each other, respect the simple things that we talk about. I mean, it's just such a contradiction. So I think that's where it is. The pro is when I look at the platform, the con is when I see the implementation of that platform.
Very good. I appreciate that. And let me tell you what I really enjoy. I enjoy the fact that we have two individuals on the air with us, ladies and gentlemen, that are able to hear what is within the other person. And it is not a debate. It is not, I don't believe what you're saying. It's not the same thing that we see on television, because I think both of you gentlemen can agree. What we see on television from a political standpoint is really a bunch of foolishness. Are we in agreement on that?
Yeah. I definitely agree.
So now we have what, and Mr. Sanderson, you brought out the good point about, okay, if you're a Christian, then you're going to act a certain way. You're going to act a different way. And this is one of my difficulties with politics in general, is because you're aligning with a particular party. And then when that party doesn't line up to, as you said, Nate, it doesn't line up with the Word of God, or it doesn't line up with the Bible or godly principles, then other people may look at me affiliating with that party, and how does that affect my witness? And that was one of the core questions that I had, maybe to answer now or at a later period. How does that affect my witness when people know that I'm a Democrat, and the Democrats are acting a fool. Or they know I'm a Republican, and all they hear and they're seeing is the Republicans acting a fool. How does that affect my witness for God to other people because of my affiliation? So does it become a hindrance in your, and this is a question I'm posing now, could it become a hindrance, my political affiliation, more so than something that is going to be able to help my church and my community?
You want me to go first, sir?
That would be great.
Sure. I think that when you look at how people perceive you, what do you place priority on? Do you place your priority on being a good politician, or do you place your priority on being a good Christian? So if I place my priority on being a good Christian, then that's what I'm going to be more concerned about. I'm going to be more concerned about people and how they perceive me and see me as a good Christian. So am I going to let my Christian belief guide my politics, or am I going to let my politics guide my Christian belief? And I think that the former should be paramount.
Dr. Truss.
Well, I think that one of the things that we have to pay attention to when we begin to discuss politics and religion and spirituality is, one, our allegiance is to God. Our allegiance is not to man. Now, that whole concept is probably a very difficult concept for a novice Christian. A novice Christian might get that mixed up, and they think, well, he's a Democrat, but he considers himself a Christian. And when those two roles diverge, they may see you or see the situation as, well, he's a Democrat, and how did he do this, or how did he make that decision? Well, again, my allegiance is to God. And as I've aligned my allegiance to God, I'm trying to make godly decisions. But the reality of it is sometimes even I and whoever else will fall short of the glory, and we may not be perfect, but we're still aligned, and our allegiance is still to God. So, you know, when we hear some of the things that are coming out of both parties, you know, as a Christian, I would have a hard time committing to some of the things that are coming out of both sides. But when I hear them, I still can't be conflicted to the point where I forget who I am. And because my allegiance is to God, and I understand that other persons who have their political affiliation identified, and I've seen them as Christians, I know that their allegiance is to God as well. I can accept that their views are different than mine, but ultimately when we come together, we know that we still both line up and march toward God. So I say that to say, you know, it is a difficult task for us to maintain our roles or our identities as a Christian as we're trying to play out this whole political process. But when you know that you're aligning with God, it doesn't matter. You know, I can have those views and think the way I think and still know that I'm doing what I'm doing because I believe it's the right thing, and I believe it aligns with what God has for me.
So let me piggyback off of that. If my allegiance is to God and I see, or what I'm hearing is not lining up, is there some duty or responsibility for me to address that, especially me being connected with that particular political affiliation?
Absolutely, and I think that no person, and this is just, again, my thought, no person or persons will all believe in the exact same concept. And I'm not speaking as it relates to religion. I'm talking about political party lines at this point. You know, I'm not going to be in line with everything the Democratic Party says. I'm not going to be in line with everything the Republican Party says if I was a Republican. There are times when we would separate purely because nothing is 100%. Nothing is strictly black and white. It's a lot of gray area in all of the political ideologies that take place. So there are going to be times when we're going to go in different directions.
Right.
Mr. Sanderson. Go ahead.
Could you repeat that question? I didn't quite get the question.
I can't even remember what it was. Do you have a duty or a responsibility when you know what your core value is? You know that as a Christian, is God first, the party is second. But when others in the party are engaging in a way that is, let's say, ungodly or against the Christian values that you know are true, do you have a duty and responsibility to speak up against that? Or do you sit back and just hold true to those same things and not say anything about it?
Well, I say most definitely, but I say that and I want to quantify that. Because I think that the Bible talks about all things being lawful but not expedient. And so it may be that you see something that is contrary to what's going on, but it may not be the right time for you to speak. You may do more damage than you do good. So I think you have to be led by the Spirit. I think you have to be in tune to the Spirit. You have to let your spirituality rule and guide your life. And when things come up, it may not even be you that are the person that can address that. It may be that you need to pray. It may be a leader that is out of line or something, and you have a duty as a Christian to pray for your leaders. And once you pray for your leaders and you trust God and you let God lead you and tell you when to speak and what to say, I think you will not be in error. You will be within God's will, and even though that person may not understand right then, if it says all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so if you believe that and you trust that, then you let God lead you.
Amen. At this time, let me go to the phone line. We have a caller that is press 1 and would like to join the conversation. So caller with the last 4 of 7600, do you have a question or comment?
I just want to say that I think you all are having a very good dialogue, and I've been listening for a moment, but I think your topic is a very good one. I am always amazed when we start talking about politics and the church, because in my humble opinion, the two don't fit, and the two don't fit at all. I don't know what everyone else's background is that's on the phone. I don't know what their dealings or their involvement in politics or what they believe. I do know one of the callers on the line, and I talk to him very, very often. But, you know, you all have used some terms, and, you know, you all have used the term Christian a lot, and I've heard the term Democrat a lot, and I've heard the term Republican a lot. You know, my position on this has always been as a person whom I am not going to say, you know, when you start to talk about Christian and Muslim and all of those types of things, let's just talk about what's right and what's wrong. Because if you are looking for a political party to be your salvation, then you are in error, because a political party will not be your salvation, period. Those of us who are Christians, we know that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is our salvation. So we should not be looking to political parties for that at all. What we should be looking at political parties for is how can they help our community and how can they help change things in our community and make things better. So when you start to talk about the church and politics, you have to separate the two first and foremost. I have always marveled when I watch pastors whom I believe are strong men of faith and strong men of God, how when issues present themselves, they have either ran from these issues, they have either took positions that you knew or know were not godly positions, and they've just done things that the Christian absolutely would not do. I am saying to you all, politics and the church don't go together at all, in my humble opinion. Whenever you are talking about doing, you don't have to talk, let's talk about what the truth is and what right is. Every one of us, when we are born, We are blessed with God's ability to know right from wrong. Who teaches the child how to lie? Can anyone on the phone, does any parent teach their child how to tell a lie? No, we don't. We don't have to.
Okay.
Because a lie is as natural as the truth. So what I'm talking to you all about is when we talk about politics and the church, let's just talk about what's right and what's wrong. And when you start talking about those things, you don't have to be a Democrat or a Republican. I listened to somebody talk about health care and why they line up more with the Democratic Party. That really, in my opinion, does not have to have anything to do or espouse with your Christian views. We know, I heard someone say, to whom much is given, much is required. If you sit and you look at either one of these political parties, either one of them, you sit and look at, on one hand, they do some great things. But on the other hand, they turn around and do some things that are not so great. Democrats do that. Republicans do that. So in both of their platforms, they have some things that you say, wow, now that's great. But on the other hand, you turn around and look at some of the other points or some of the other particulars in the party, and you'll say, now, that ain't godly at all. So what I'm talking about is, as Christians, let us talk about doing the things that are right and doing the things that are good for us. We should not be looking to political parties for our salvation.
Okay. Well, Carla, we thank you so much for your comment, and we do believe that it's not about looking – to salvation. That's definitely not what the two individuals on the line, that's not what they represent, that's not what I represent, and we do respect and understand that there are some individuals that may, from that caller's particular context. So let's go to another caller who has been waiting patiently on the line, and let's hear this caller, and if Dr. Trusser or Mr. Sanderson, you want to comment on those when we get back, because I don't want to have the caller on the line for such a long period of time. So caller with the last four of 1844. Do you have a brief question or comment, please? Go ahead, caller, you're on the air. All right, maybe they pressed the dial pad in error. Mr. Sanderson, Mr. Trust, one of the things that the caller said is that the two don't mix. And I know he may not have been on the line when both of you had given us a little bit about your background. So if you'll just give us a little bit more for those who have joined in who were not with us at the beginning. So Dr. Trust, if you could just give us a little bit of your background, and then we'll take it to Mr. Sanderson for a brief moment as well.
Okay. More of my background, I have a doctorate in educational leadership policy and law. I have a master's degree in counseling psychology. I've been working in higher education for approximately 15, 16 years. Been in the ministry, again, as I stated, of approximately 5 to 6 years. I'm a family person as well. Enjoy great dialogue and the ability to discuss and share ideas. That's who I am.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Sanderson, if you just give us a short spill, again, for those who were not on when we both had made our introduction at the beginning of the show.
Yes, thank you once again, Minister Dunlap, for allowing me to participate this evening. I'm Nate Sanderson, Columbus, Georgia NAACP president. I'm also a registered Republican, not affiliated with any party at this time. And I'm also a member of Cathedral Prayer Church of God in Christ, very active in the community. I have an insurance agency out on Macon Road called Fit Financial Insurance Agency Services. I'm sorry. And just enjoy serving the community, serving our community, and really would like an opportunity to respond to the caller, to some of what he said. I think that we need to clarify some of what was said.
Sure, go ahead, sir.
Well, one of the things what we spoke about earlier, I don't know if the caller was listening or had an opportunity to listen, when we defined politics, I think that was the first question that you asked, for us to give our definition of politics. And based on that definition of politics, I just don't see how you can separate politics from the church. I mean, politics are pervasive. They're everywhere in our society. And I think we have to define what we're talking about when we say politics. Are we talking about the people up at the state house or the people in your local government, or we're talking about the art of politics? Those are two different things. And that's, so the art of politics is everywhere. It's in our home, it's at the school, it's everywhere. I mean, there's just no denying that. So I just have to disagree with him on that point.
Thank you very much. Dr. Truss, I just want to give you an opportunity if there was anything that you wanted to say before we just talk about a couple other things.
Right. Again, I'll just add to that, just as the gentleman just stated, you know, politics are everywhere. Everything is political. I do firmly believe that. In a utopia, we wouldn't find politics in everything. But unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world. And the political process is what is used, again, to decide on the give and take, the trade-offs of life. That's just the reality of it. We're clearly talking about the process of politics, and as Mr. Sanderson stated, the art of politics. And to speak as far as our salvation and politics, I think the caller might have missed some of what we said previously, and maybe that's why he came up with that piece. So, again, we respect what was said, and we continue the dialogue.
And one of the things that I do think is key, because a lot of times individuals want things to be in black and white. And Dr. Truss, you stated that they're not black and white. And as someone who has, you know, I have a degree in master's in public administration, so I know it's not black and white. I teach personal law. Again, I know that things are not always black and white. That being said, we're not able always to distinguish right and wrong. When we start talking about right and wrong, we start talking about ethics. And ethics, my values, my morals, and my norms are going to be different than yours. So even on that concept of right and wrong, that lends us to a thing of winners and losers. Because if I say that you're wrong, then that's almost like saying that my position and my point is the right one. And again, that's not the type of dialogue that we're trying to engage in. That's a good place to start for some individuals is, okay, I believe that you're right. You believe that you're right. How do we engage ourselves in dialogue? But when that type of thing happens, you have to have somebody that's able to come in the midst of you believing that you're right, the other person believing that they're right, and seeing where is there some commonality that we can start from and build ourselves from that. Mr. Sanderson, you had mentioned something about prayer. And I thought about something. As a church, or maybe even in our individual churches, and I say as the church, or in our individual churches, the different type of church associations that we have, how do we pray when it comes to our leaders? Are we supposed to pray for our leaders? Is that biblical from your perspective and your context? And not just talking about the president, because I hear that one a lot, pray for your president. But should we be praying for not just the president, but for all of our local elected officials, appointed officials, even when they're not lining up with the political views that we actually have? And are we able to really do that, in your opinion?
I'm going to answer the last part first. Yes, we can pray for them even when they are not lining up with our viewpoint and our opinion. I think we should. That's probably when we need to pray for them even more. And yes, you have to pray for all of your leaders, from the firefighter. I pray for civil servants, you know, police officers. I have a lot of friends that are police officers, and every time I part with them, I always tell them, be safe. And I sincerely mean that. Be safe, watch out for yourself, because you do our community a great service. And
right.
All of our elected officials that are working within the confines of good governance are doing their citizenry a great service. And so we have to be mindful of that, and we have to pray that God keeps their mind and that God leads them, that they are godly people and that they are led by the Spirit. Now, I mean, I may have some personal things that I want done that may not always work out that way. So that doesn't mean I stop praying for that person. But
right.
I pray that God's will is done. If I'm praying that God's will is done and I truly believe that God is hearing my prayer, I have to accept it and I have to move forward. And if there is a change that needs to be, then God will bring about that change, not only in them, but he'll bring about that change in you also.
All right. Thank you for that. Dr. Trust.
Again, I concur. I just believe it's so important that we pray for their wisdom. I believe it's important that we pray for our wisdom. Sometimes, because we're human, our wants and our likes will somewhat overshadow things, and we'll begin to look at things from a one-sided opinion. So I believe it's important, again, for us to pray for our leaders and ask for wisdom for them, but also to ask wisdom for ourselves. Because it's so important that we realize, as you stated and as I stated earlier, that many issues are not as clear and clean cut as they appear to be. It's a lot of research. It takes a lot of listening on both sides. It's a lot of taking things into consideration in order to get to the bottom of many, many issues. And it's just not always black and white. Majority of the time, it's a lot of gray area involved. And sometimes with that gray area, it depends on your culture. It depends on what you've been exposed to. It depends on where you're from, where you actually end up standing on the side of the issue. So, again, prayer is super important. And I think, again, we have to pray for their wisdom and pray for ours as well.
You know, I would really love to see the day when more people come together from different sides of the aisle, using a little bit of political terminology, and do exactly what y'all just said. Pray for the civil servants. Pray for God's will. Pray for their wisdom and our wisdom. Those four things right there, I think, can take us to a whole different level of where we are within our individual churches, within our communities. And then it just branches out, in my opinion, from there. And let me tell you why I asked that question about prayer. I can remember hearing several years ago when probably 2008 time frame, prior to this last election, and I can remember hearing prayers about our previous president, President George W. Bush, and then I can remember hearing prayers all the way from the election time period of 2008 up until even present day. And those prayers are totally, totally different. And I'm going to tell you something that I had to say to somebody one time. I said, you can't have it both ways. You can't say something like, let's pray for the safety of our president, and then in the same breath or shortly thereafter, let's get him out of office. Now, that's my perspective. That's my context. That's what I heard. And I know that was within the last couple of years. So, again, I'm not saying that that is what everybody says. That's just the things that I've heard. And those type of things, brothers, just let me tell you, it makes me ill, because what it shows is there's what you said, Dr. Truss, they're standing on one side of the fence, and you can't have it both ways. So, in my opinion, why couldn't the prayers just be the same for any president, regardless of what their political affiliation is? And I'm not going to go into a lot of the other things, but what is your comments or what are your thoughts on that? Either one of y'all can respond to that. Do we sit back and we just listen to it, or do we actually take a hold to it and do like I did in that particular instance and say, you know, there's individuals that are not going to be of your persuasion, whether it was a Democrat or a Republican. They're not going to be of your persuasion all the time coming into this church. And as they do, the things that you're saying are things that are not lining up with the Bible and what you're saying.
Well, on many occasions, you know, I pray to God that he orders my steps. And as I do that, I'm asking him to help me to make the right decision, help me to move in the right direction, or order my tongue, help me to say the right thing at the right time so that I don't cause more problems or issues than what I initially intended to. You know, I say that to say there are times when you want to step up and truly go against or stand for, depending on where you stand in that particular situation. But you have to be reminded that there are going to be times when it will be reversed. And you may not be sitting in the winning seat, if you will, or the person that or candidate that you felt like should be in may not be in. So during
right.
those times, because I believe God can use anybody to do anything to move his will forward, whether it's my candidate or not my candidate, I believe that God still can get things done that need to be done through whoever that person is. A perfect example would be George Wallace, the governor of Alabama, where during the times when he took some amazing stands against some of the things that African-Americans were pushing forward during the civil rights movement, his disobedience during that time was actually what propelled the civil rights movement to some other levels where we were able to accomplish some things that we needed to get accomplished. So I'm a believer in, and I'm saying that to say, I'm a believer in God can do through whoever he decides to do it through his will and get things moving forward. So when I stand and I see people making prayers against or what seems to be prayers against someone or something or candidate that I'm pushing for, a party or whatever the case may be, I want to ask him not to let me make those type mistakes and, again, to order my steps. But I also ask him that he, again, gives them wisdom and compassion and the ability to remain as their Christian background would ask, that they just be lovers of their neighbor, you know. So that's kind of where I stand on that issue.
I want to make sure that I'm understanding what was said, because I think I take a somewhat different viewpoint on what you said, Minister Dunlap. I think you're saying, is there a struggle, or should we struggle with praying for somebody and then still not wanting them to be our leader?
You can say that struggling, not struggling to pray, praying against, but
right.
praying the superficial part. We pray for our president, or we pray for our city mayor, or we pray for our council, but then in the same tongue or in the same conversation, praying against them.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say praying against them, but I would say I could pray for their safety. I can pray for their well-being. I could pray for their good health, and at the same time, without any hesitation, I can go and vote against them because
right.
I don't think the two are the same. I think that one is strictly spiritual and one is political. You can go back to I think Dr. Truss mentioned George Wallace. A good Christian could pray that God turns him around, and from all accounts, after he got shot in his life, he did turn around. But I'm pretty sure there was a whole lot of people that were praying for him that did not want him to be their governor and especially their president. So I think that you can sincerely pray for the good health and well-being of a person and still not want them to be your leader.
Amen. I'm agreeing with you. I am.
Okay.
Let me ask this question. You know, again, we're talking about not just politics, but politics and the church. The thing that I was thinking about was, let's say that I'm running for a political office. And, of course, as an individual that is faithful to church, to God's house, and a minister and doing things that I believe God is calling me to do, I want the support of my brothers and sisters whom I'm fellowshipping with, you know, my church family. So let's say my church family, you know, announces from the pulpit, for example, that Brother Dunlap is running for the office of mayor, for example. And they allow Brother Dunlap to get up and speak and address the congregation and to really communicate, look, brothers and sisters, you know, I thank you, I appreciate your support, however you can help, whatever the case may be. But what happens if somebody who is of a different party than what I am, wants to do that same thing, and we don't allow that to happen. Those are the type of things that I'm seeing and I'm hearing from individuals that shows that we're not being fair and impartial when it comes to politics and the church. So what are some things that we should do? And these are opinionated questions, of course, but what should we do? Should it be, on one hand, we don't say anything about Brother Dunlap and let Brother Dunlap do what Brother Dunlap is going to do outside of the church? Or do we allow both individuals to speak and address the congregation so that we're not showing favoritism or partiality towards one side or the other? Dr. Truss.
Very, very interesting question.
You know I'm coming with something, brother.
and I say that because I am actually in the middle of a campaign for county commissioner right now. My philosophy as it relates to that is, and you somewhat mentioned, I think it's important to be fair and non-biased as it relates to that. However, we understand that the selection of the right candidate does play and make a major impact, or will have a major impact on many members of our church. So I think it's important that we do open up the forum for the candidate to say who he is and maybe speak briefly on his platform so that our persons who are in our congregation can make a wise choice. And that doesn't mean that we have to promote a certain person. That just means open it up and let the people make their decision. Let your persons who are in your congregation make the decision. But again, we understand that selecting the wrong candidate that does not have the best interest of the philosophies and the ideals of your church could impact your constituents tremendously. So.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr.
You want me to? Yeah. Okay. Having been a candidate also, I want to make sure that I'm answering this question correctly. One of the things that you said was a person, and I take it that there are two candidates in the same church. I want to answer it from that perspective, and then I want to answer from a perspective where neither candidate is from the church, but candidates are coming to the church. Okay, so the first one, when you have two candidates in that church, I don't feel that either one of them should have to get up in front of the congregation and say anything, because if they've done anything in that congregation, the congregation is going to know you. We know the fruits that you bear already. So if you have to get up in front of your congregation and beg and plead for them to support you as a political candidate, then I think that you have not done some things already. So that's one perspective. Now, having candidates come to your congregation and giving both of them equal time, if both of them are receptive to come, I think is appropriate. The church has to go out and vote. The congregation has to go out and vote, and we want informed voters. So I would hope that you open your door, or the church opens its doors to all candidates. I think it's very wrong, no matter if it happens on the Republican side or the Democrat side, if you only open your door to one candidate. And if I was sitting in those pews, if I was a parishioner in that congregation, I would be very upset, even if I supported the one person that you brought in, because I don't think it's fair. We have to be fair when we talk about this. So there are two different ways that I would answer that question.
Thank you very much. And one of the things that I can recall was being in a position where I was hearing certain things. I could speak to both contexts, from Democrat and Republican congregations. And I say Republican and Democrat congregations, meaning most of the individuals were either Democrat or Republican. And I can remember being among a Republican congregation. Well, let me say it this way. I can remember being in a Democratic congregation. And I heard a minister say that, "I cannot tell you who to vote for." But he mentioned the name Barack. that's a clear indication for those who are sitting inside of that congregation that even though that person is saying, I cannot tell you who to vote for, I'm still mentioning only one name. So it's kind of clear where that position of that individual minister who is in the pulpit at that particular time is coming from. And there's an influence there. And likewise, if the minister who happens to be a Republican from the pulpit says something that you know for a fact, for example, and Nate, correct me if I'm wrong.
Right.
One of the platforms, I would say, is against abortion for the Republican Party. Is that correct?
Yes, that's a platform stand.
So if my comment as a minister and I happen to be Republican or my congregation is Republican and I say we have to be careful who we vote for, we don't want to vote for somebody who's against abortion, then I am providing a Republican point of view, and I'm in essence, how it can be perceived is you don't need to vote for the Democrat. So it's those type of comments that I've heard, which I know has led us up to the point of where we are as far as having this conversation. The bottom line is we have to be really careful and cautious, especially as ministers, in what we say from the pulpit and what we allow to be said within our congregations. Gentlemen, we have about 4 minutes left, and let me just tell you, I am so happy that our conversation has been what it is. We have one caller that is on the line. We have about 4 minutes left, so comment and or question from a caller with the last four of 1959. Go ahead with your comment or your question. Caller 1959.
Thank you.
Uh-oh. Let's try it one more time. Caller 1959, you're on the air.
Yeah, that sounds like it's me, Nate, but I didn't mean to press anything.
All right, all right. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for talking.
All right, sir. All right, so closing comments. Mr. Sanderson, if you would like to just give us about a minute's worth of closing comments, and we'll be more than happy to hear as we get ready down to our last 3 minutes of the show.
Well, first of all, let me thank you, Dr. Truss, and your listening audience for allowing me to share my opinion and some facts with you this evening. It was an honor to be here and to share with you. I learned a lot. I appreciate the cordial, respectful dialogue and even at times disagreement. And I think we need more of this in our community. We need to be able to sit down as men of God and as black men and white men or whatever, just men of the community and women of the community, we need to be able to sit down and talk about our agreements and our disagreements and be able to come to some kind of reasoning. And even if we don't come to some kind of reasoning, respect the other person's opinion. And having said that, I'll yield the rest of the time to Dr. Truss.
All right, Dr. Truss, closing comments if you want to.
I, too, thank you for allowing me to be a part of the show. I appreciate the dialogue. I appreciate the collegiality, the ability to express, and as Mr. Sanderson has already stated, even the ability to disagree. It is so important that African Americans are a part of the political process. We must understand that we have to be key stakeholders in the political process because what happens there inside of that process impacts us tremendously. And for so many years, we've been on the wrong side of it. It matters not to me whether it's Republican or Democrat. That just doesn't matter. The piece that matters to me is that we become a part of it and we share our views because our views do matter. Inside of the church, we would love to say that politics shouldn't be there, it's not there, but the reality of it is there. The reality of it is that whole process is a part of everything that we do, and we have to understand it so that we can begin to impact our communities in a more positive way as it relates to that. Every decision that's made in the United States, it is based on politics, and we must be a key player. We must be at the table when politics is being dealt with, when it's being discussed, must be there. Also, as it has been stated as well, as ministers, as men of God, people are listening and they're watching and they're paying attention to our beliefs and paying attention to our philosophies and our ideologies. And it's just so important for us to have a clear understanding of where we stand and to stand by what we believe in. And as much as possible, we want to align it with what we are as Christians and as men of God. So, again, I thank you for the opportunity. I look forward to further exploring this topic with you, because I just don't think we have enough time to really delve into it as deep as we probably could go with this thing. So I charge you, Brother Nate, when time permits, to bring it back up and let's push deeper into this and just kind of see and talk about more insights as it relates to this. Mr. Sanderson, pleasure speaking with you. Pleasure to meet you. Look forward to future conversations and dialogue.
Same.
All right. Well, thank you again, gentlemen. And I can tell you both that, yes, we will be continuing the dialogue. I have the pleasure of being able to host the show every first Tuesday of the month. So just know the next first Tuesday of September as well as October, God has mandated that this is what I'm to deal with. So I may have both of you back on the show, on both of those shows or one of those shows. So keep your dates open. So on behalf of Kimberly Skeen, founder of Freedom Radio, we thank everybody for listening with us this evening. And we just hope that God just does some miraculous things in your life. For a scripture, I will say as we depart, in Acts chapter 10, it says, God surely shows no partiality. So chew on that. Think about that one until we meet again, and God bless.
God bless.
God bless. Take care.